The Defense Department has a new agency. It's the Joint Improvised Threat Defeat Agency, or JIDA, JADA. Army Major General Julie Benz is the acting director of it. She joins me now with more on the agency and its refresh mission. General, great to have you on. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Tom. It's really great to be here.
All right, so this comes out of an earlier agency. Which agency was that? And tell us how the mission has expanded.
So the original agency was the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization, better known as JIEDO. And as you may recall, that started back at around 2006 with the mandate to get after the IED that was really causing us a challenge downrange. The success of that organization was such that they realized this should be an enduring capability, and so they made us combat support agency, as you said, Joint Improvised Threat Defeat Agency, or JIDA.
And so when you say combat support agency, how is that different from other agencies?
Well, the Combat Support Agency is we have quite a few of them in the Department of Defense. You'll know the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DITRA, DARPA, DLA. Those are all the types of combat support agencies. Ours resides underneath the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics.
Okay, so the new name, Improvised Threat Defeat, implies that there are other threats that are improvised besides explosive devices. So give us an idea of what the military has seen that is improvised, that's dangerous, but that is not an explosive device.
You bet. I would call an improvised threat any adaption of available technologies or tactics, techniques, or procedures that counter our technical overmatch, right? So that it's going to be an abundantly cheap, easily transformed technology that's effective by the use of available and expendable manpower that makes it lethal. And that's why we're after the improvised threat.
And has the military seen anything like that so far? Is there anything tangible that is non-explosive, or maybe not the roadside bomb type of model that this all grew out of, but there's something you've seen that's specific that causes the agency to be needed?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, what we're encountering down on the battlefield, a lot of them are old ideas that they are putting a spin on. So, again, going back to the IED for a moment, you know, we think about landmines, right? We've experienced that in prior fights. But what this adversary has done is they've made it improvised, and so we've got the IEDs. You think about the underground, the underwater minefields that that World War II was concerned about. Well, you know, they've improvised those, and now we have waterborne IEDs. A big problem we've got right now is we've spent a lot of money for precision guided munitions. Well, the best precision guided munition is, you know, when you've got a suicide bomber who puts the drives the vehicle into a crowd, right? That's, you can't get more precise than that. So that's the technologies, that's the threat, that there's an improvised piece of it. If you want a specific one that's not necessarily an explosion problem is, you know, we're seeing a lot of tunnel a threat. And now you can put IEDs in a tunnel, and, you know, that becomes a really major issue for our force protection. But the tunnels themselves are a threat that just changes the battle space for us.
Well, someone can sneak in from behind where you're guarding, and the next thing you know, you are being attacked from behind.
Exactly.
And what about unmanned aircraft? I mean, we have drones and we have aircraft, and you know, the major nations have all of these things, but these little tiny toy-like drones, I imagine those could be turned into improvised threats because they're so small and maneuverable. They could just fly up into something and you could put a grenade on it, or I'm just imagining this, but is that something you're looking at also?
We are, and as you described it there, the idea that these are, again, a technology that's abundantly cheap, they're easily transformed, all you need is available and expendable manpower to make it lethal. And fundamentally, you know, you just go back to necessity is the mother of invention, and they're going to use any and all available technologies to get in between our capabilities.
We're speaking with Army Major General Julie Benz, the acting director of the Joint Improvised Threat Defeat Agency. So tell us a little bit about the agency itself, how it's organized, where it is located, with the type of people that are in it.
Well, we are in the National Capital Region, and our mission is basically to help warfighters adapt. And one of the things that we have been told in the movement from JIAIDO to JIDA is that for the warfighter, this is going to be transparent. The new JIDA were slimmed down from the height of the JIAIDO experience. We reduced by about 85% of our budget, and we've reduced by about 60% of our people. We are still incredibly relevant in a constrained budget environment because we are utilizing and leveraging a community of action. And that community of action is our interagency partners. It's the foreign governments that we've been working with so well in our coalition forces. We're working with industry, academia, and the private sector because, you know, what we have to do is get after this adaptive threat by adapting and innovating in real time. And we can do that in a community of action approach.
And as the activity in Iraq, that's over, but, in a sense it's over, I guess, and Afghanistan wind down, presumably, is there still enough impetus to keep this whole thing going because the United States would not be in a regular daily combat situation?
The simple answer is yes, that the challenge that we are up against has metastasized to a global threat. We are seeing this type of approach across the globe, and the community of action, whether it's our law enforcement, our homeland security, the intelligence community, the commerce and treasury, we're seeing that the upstream problem of the networks being very, very successful in finding the seams of our country and exploiting against it.
Yeah, so I understand. So, for example, take the Navy. And when we had the USS Cole incident a number of years ago, when a little rubber dinghy that had explosives, you know, disabled a powerful American warship. So I imagine even just in the normal course of patrolling and being where the military is without being in combat, you also have those improvised threats too.
Exactly. That's a perfect example of what every country is challenged with. And in working from a global context, we realize that you know, these enemy networks that we face today, they're agile, they're adaptive organizations. And we have to be just as adaptive and collaborative and innovative in our response. And what, you know, this is the biggest thing we've learned in JIAIDO, and that is, you know, at first we were all about the device, man. How do we defeat it? How do we mitigate it? How do we get, you know, doing a lot of forensics on it? And we still have a great relationship with the FBI and their forensics capabilities that started showing us, hey, these explosives that we're seeing around the battlefield, they're connected by a couple bomb makers. And when we went to the bomb maker, we found out who those bomb makers are, they realized we got into a facilitation network, and those networks were connected to financial networks. And now all of a sudden, you started seeing through all of the community of action who had the authorities to go after those specific piece parts of the network, that if we get upstream of the device, we even stop their build out of it. And so in learning that it's not simply about the device, but rather about the network that facilitates all the various pieces that, you know, culminate in a device, we have to focus on the network. And in that way, we can stay apace with the improvised threat.
You know, I was just thinking that because the Pentagon has a new offset strategy underway to try to get and restore and refresh the technological edge that the Pentagon has had since the 1970s, when they developed guided munitions and stealth and so forth. It seems like the effort that you are leading could also contribute to that greater question, based on what you just said, of the offset strategy. So we get ahead of some of these improvised threats before they before they do metastasize and kill troops and so forth. Maybe there's a preventive kind of quality to this.
I think you're dead on the money there. I think, you know, the better buying power 3.0 that Undersecretary Kendall is bringing out and initiating across the force. JIDA is a great example of how that works well. It's effective. It works in constrained budget environment because, you know, we can do a lot with the community of action. You know, I was just thinking about how do you get a lot of people working on a single problem? I come out from the West, born and raised in Oregon, and part of the Oregon National Guard, and growing up in the farmers around, when it came time to bring the produce in, everybody came and helped in each field. And the reason you did it is because you knew your field was next and you needed everybody to help. And that's kind of where we are as a nation right now, is we need everybody in this community of action, because all of us have things that we will be helped with, and we've got capability that we can help each other with.
So you're from the Army, but it sounds like JIDA then is a pretty purple effort.
It is indeed, yeah. We are a multi-force agency, and all services. We've got folks from across the interagency that work with us, and as well as a lot of our coalition partners.
All right, Army Major General Julie Benz is acting director of the Joint Improvised Threat Defeat Agency. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate having some time on your show.